Yeah, my
Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of From the Touchline for 90 Minutes. I'm Todd Stauber here, your host, and I'm here with Aaron Heinzen. And we've got the World Cup preview right in front of us. World Cup starting on Thursday, Aaron. I have to say, this is one of the World Cups I've been the most excited about since I can remember. Just got some fantastic players, great teams, and some great matchups.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in a place where the South American teams got a big-time opportunity. I think one of the reasons I'm most excited about it is no European team's ever won on South American soil, so it really throws in a surprise. You're like Italy, there's lots to talk about. Spain, there's tons. But, I think that's one of the best ones. And it's in a country where they absolutely need soccer mode. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a good World Cup, and we're going to go through group by group here, team by team, give our predictions, and we've got a lot to cover here, so we should we should probably get right into it here. We're going to start in Group A, host country Brazil, and I think Group A, when I look at Group A, Aaron, it's pretty clear to me Brazil is going to come out of this group number one. I just don't see anybody beating them to win this group. And, give me your thoughts on Brazil.
Well, no question about it. Brazil, absolutely one of the best teams in the world. And I think a lot of people had some doubts starting out stops when, they were coming in. The Confederations Cup the last summer kind of cemented the fact that Brazil are going to be for real, and they destroyed Spain in the final 3-0. And everybody kind of got their first worldwide introduction to Neymar, see how lethal he can be. Fred up top, Hulk, the back line with the likes of Dante and what's his name? The right back. Trying to think of the Barcelona guy. I wanted to say Jordi Alba.
Let's talk Neymar.
Alves. That's what I wanted to say. Danny Alves.
Because Neymar, to me, he had a decent season at Barcelona. He wasn't, I don't think he was. He didn't overshadow Messi. He wasn't the greatest player in the world, but I think that it's clear that he's obviously very true to the heart of the Brazilian people. He played, the early stages before going to Barcelona at Santos in Brazil, where he became a cult hero there. And he's a different player for Brazil. He's shown that in their friendlies leading up to the World Cup. He's a different player when he plays for Brazil than when he played for Barcelona this last season. And I think that there's been a lot of hype about Neymar in this coming up to this World Cup. In my opinion, the hype is for real when it comes to Neymar. He's playing in his home country. That he's going to be very excited to go back and play in Brazil after a year being in Spain in front of his home people, where he's very beloved. I mean, he's a cult hero. And I think that you're going to see a special tournament out of Neymar. And when you just look at Brazil and look at the draw they had and the opponents that they're going to, face in the group and potentially in the second round, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, I made my bracket last night and I did it in 15 different ways and Brazil won every single time.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it. Obviously, the home country always has a huge advantage. I mean, Brazil is one of the last teams you want to see with a home field advantage, but obviously they've got it. It looked extremely good in the Confederations Cup last year. And despite all the stuff that's going around in Brazil, kind of the protests, and I think the team is motivated. Marcelo said they're motivated to bring happiness to Brazil through their play on the field, and you're definitely going to see it. And as far as the Barcelona thing went, I mean, that's a huge challenge for that club to actually fit both Neymar and Messi in the same system. I think Johan Cruyff said it, when you're bringing in Neymar, you already have a Messi. Will those two actually mesh together very well? Well, we kind of saw that maybe Neymar took a back seat. He did have some injuries, so did Messi, but they didn't get enough time on the field. But despite that, back on Brazil, he's back on his, like you said, home court advantage, home field advantage. And, they're going to be absolutely, the crowd's going to be absolutely insane, the city, the country.
Well, speaking of the crowd, Brazil played to a 1-0 win over Serbia last night in Sao Paulo. It was a frustrated crowd. They labored to the victory. Fred scored the only goal. I don't think it was as smooth as dominant as the fans had hoped. you know, the one thing about the Brazilian fans, you know, is supportive that they can be, they can also turn very quickly. It's
oh, sure.
Very similar to a New York crowd, if you will. And so, you know, you've got a whole nation there that the expectations are sky high. I mean, Brazil is the most successful country in the history of the World Cup. There's no question that they are the favorites. And I think that the expectations are going to be sky high for these players. Like you said, they do have. Well, you didn't say, but they do have Dani Alves.
Yeah, I got that out of the way. I was like,
Holk is going to be an influential player. Oscar is going to be an influential player. You know, they've won the World Cup 5 times. They've come in second twice, but they haven't won since 2002, Aaron.
Yep.
And in 2010, they were knocked out of the quarterfinals 2-1 by Holland.
Yep.
I think that while the expectations are sky high, I believe they're going to win. It's not going to be just a cakewalk to just walk through there.
Absolutely not. They've got to. They've got a lot of firepower, but everybody knows everybody's who's obviously in their group and people that are that think they may run into them along the way. Absolutely getting ready for a team like that. No surprise. There's no surprises. Everybody knows Neymar. Everybody knows Fred, who's actually back in Brazil. But Hulk, you know, I mean, Oscar, Ramirez, all those fellas, a lot of people have seen them. So Brazil aren't going to surprise anybody. But they do have one of the best parts about some of the top teams that are in the tournament. You see, like in Argentina, for example, who are a little bit out of imbalance, while Brazil offers pretty much the full package. I mean, you've got the attack of Neymar, you've got Oscar, you've got Ramirez, and then on the backside, you've got Marcelo, you've got Dani Alves, you've got David Luiz, and you have Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
And you've got, actually, Julio Cesar. Who,
yeah.
Whoever you say he's playing, he's still a fabulous goalkeeper.
No,
so they
very
are
good.
Well.
And I think Thiago Silva, he's a player we hadn't even mentioned yet. But
yeah.
He's very good. David Luiz, even though he plays he had been playing a lot of in the center of midfield for Chelsea, you know, he's a very good center back. Yeah, they're going to be solid in the back. And, you know, if you look at the group here, and if Luigi can just talk on the rest of the teams in that group.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we talk about Cameroon. But, you know, we talked this week about the old Roger Mila. How he come out of retirement and play at age 72.
Great to see him.
But, you know, you've got a team in Cameroon, a team in Mexico, and a team in Croatia. But, you know, I mean, I don't see any of those three teams posing any sort of major threat to Brazil in this opening round. Now, do they pose a threat to each other? Yes, because, you know, as we sat down and talked, the other team coming out of this group is really, it's really up in the air. And it really depends on who's hot and who's playing well and who's scoring goals. You know, if you look at a Cameroon again, you know, you've got that Samuel Eto'o playing his fourth World Cup, which is, quite amazing for him.
Yes.
But you've also got Samuel Eto'o, who seems to have issues and problems everywhere he goes, he just seems to cause problems off the field within the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
So is he going to show up and play? Is he not going to show up and play? We don't really know. You've got Alex Song out of Barcelona. You've got Stefan Mbia, who is a Queen's Park Ranger player on loan at Sevilla this year. You have some players there. In their pre-World Cup friendlies, they've got a 2-2 draw with Germany, a great result for them. And Cameroon, I think, as we know, with just about any African nation, I mean, they could be on and just have a special tournament, as Cameroon was in 1990 when they beat Argentina and went all the way and reached the quarterfinal.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. I think I've got my eye a little bit on the Croatian side. I think they'll they've got one of the most talented midfielders right now, Luka Modric. They got Ivan Rakitic. Sevilla just wins the Europa League, so you got a Europa League winner. You got a Champions League winner in there. You've also got a big-time forward in Mario Mandzukic coming out of Bayern Munich. I mean, that's some firepower there right there. They've got some pretty good organization, you know, some pretty experienced defenders. Daniel Franjanic from Panathinaikos. They've got some of these names I'm just going to butcher. Rosaljko,
yeah.
Very tough to say. Genoa, Italian Serie A, a couple of Dinamo Kiev guys. It's a very experienced back line. It's a pretty good attack. I think Croatia's kind of kind of where I'm heading over there.
Well, if you look at Mexico, I mean, obviously we know Mexico has major struggles to even qualify. They used 47 players and four coaches just in qualifying. Ended up in the playoff, win over New Zealand to get in. They snuck in. And it's funny, here in the States, we're talking about how we rolled through qualifying and now have ended up in the group of death.
Yeah.
Mexico struggled like a midget in the deep end to get through qualifying, and here they are with a pretty decent chance of getting through because, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you do have – you've got Giovanni Dos Santos. You've got Javier Chicharito Hernandez. You've got Oribe Peralta, who's had a resurgence in the Mexican national team. You have Andrew Cordado, the Bayer Leverkusen defender, and then you have Rafa Marquez, the ancient defender, but always played very well for Mexico.
He's still around?
Yeah, he's still around. Yeah, he played with Jurgen Klinsmann, I think, sometime in the 90s.
So.
Here you have Mexico, and it would just be typical Mexico to just go ahead and they lose to Brazil, they beat Cameroon, they beat Croatia, and they get through to the second round.
Right.
I think you brought up a spot when we were meeting earlier in the week that Mexico has advanced into the round of 16
since 1994. Every single World Cup they've been. Yeah,
which is unbelievable.
That's impressive.
It is impressive. It's an unbelievable feat. And so I just think you can't count Mexico out as much as I, you know, would like to. think they struggled so much in qualifying, didn't look good. I mean, I've got a lot of Mexican friends, and every single one I talk to, they just Mexico, they're terrible. You know, they're already writing them off.
Right.
I'm not going to write them off though. I just can't do that. I just think that there might be something there. So, you know,
right.
I think outside of Brazil, I think you've got a difficult group because the other thing to consider is Mexico is just to the north of South America. And
yeah,
I think
that is the other thing.
That's a distinct advantage
in
terms of the travel and just being familiar with the climate and familiar with the South American culture and everything. Most, you know, the shock factor isn't going to be as big getting over there. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think that Mexico, to me, is a team that could get through. However, I will tell you that in my predictions in Group A, which we're just going to get into right now, I have picked Brazil to go out first and Croatia to go out second in the group.
Okay, well, I actually obviously picked Brazil to win that group, and I chose Mexico. I'm taking history. Mexico will do it. Sorry, Cameroon. You know, I think I just don't think Cameroon's got it this time around. But see the way they qualified as well, getting in that. That was an interesting move.
It was an interesting move, and just talking about that a little bit, you know, they had that result reversed because of the illegal player being played from Togo.
Togo had an illegal player.
That got them into the playoff, and they beat Tunisia 4-1 on the aggregate. Obviously, they did well there, but they shouldn't even – I mean, realistically, they lost the game 2-0 to Togo and were out.
Yeah.
And they were handed a lifeline by FIFA.
Yeah.
So thanks, Sepp Blatter.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if the player was ineligible, he was ineligible.
Yeah,
so
that is fair enough. But still, it doesn't look good for Cameroon. It just doesn't. When I look at their team, they look like they are aging. You know, like you said, Samuel Eto'o's fourth World Cup. We saw what he could do for Chelsea. He can still score goals at a high level.
Yeah.
But in the World Cup, I just don't think Alex Song is going to get enough support from midfield. I mean, obviously, Stefan would be a great player, but personally for me, when I look at it on paper, I just don't think it can be.
Yeah, maybe if Roger Miller.
If
Roger Miller comes back, I'm going to give him a chance.
Then I will, yeah.
If he doesn't, then they have a chance. I'm giving them no chance.
All
right, well, let's moving right on. So we've got our picks there. Aaron's got Mexico and Brazil.
Yep.
I've got Brazil-Croatia coming out of that group. Moving on to Group B there. Aaron, why don't you take it from here?
Well, let's see. Group B, it's a hot one. Holland-Spain. What do you think? First game?
It's one of the games I'm looking forward to the very most. I mean, this could be, you know, it's a replay of the final.
Right, absolutely.
In the very first game of the group play.
Right off the bat.
You almost want to think it's rigged. The draw was rigged just to get some early viewership going in this World Cup. But I just think, I think that these two teams will come out of this group. But it's going to be a great first game. If you look at Spain, people are writing them off, saying that they're old, saying that they're this, saying that they're that. I mean, go through their roster and tell me that they're not going to be a team that you have to talk about. They're going to be winning this tournament. You could say Xavi and Iniesta are aging, but they play with one touch and they complete over 90% of their passes every time they step on the field.
Yeah.
You've got great striking options. We talked about the guys. We're looking at the guys just on the bench for them and their striking options. Fernando Torres, David Villa, David Silva, Juan Mata.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys that aren't even potentially going to see the field.
Right. Cazorla.
Yeah.
Is Diego Costa going to be fit? That's one of the big questions.
They think that Diego Costa is going to be fit.
Yeah.
And I think that, there's a guy, Diego Costa obviously had a great year for Atletico.
Yeah.
Had to limp off 9 minutes into the Champions League final, but he should be fit as they go through this World Cup. Fabregas up top.
Yeah.
Just
an embarrassment of
right,
Richard.
Jordi
Alba's on that.
You talk about the back four, and you've got PK, you've got Sergio Ramos, you've got Jordi Alba.
Juan Fran in the Champions League final.
It's an embarrassment of riches that they've got there, and I think for people to be saying that they're aged and they're not going to get through this World Cup, I think is asinine. Can I say that on the radio? Randy, back in New York City, can I say that? But okay, I just said it. It is asinine for people to say that Spain is, not going to be a factor in this World Cup. They've got the experience. They won the last, three major tournaments they've been in. Two World Cups and two European championships.
One World Cup, two
European championships.
Yeah, this would be history right here.
It would be history, and it's a piece of history that I wouldn't mind seeing, because I think Vicente Del Bosque has been a great coach. He's been a great man in the game. All of these players, I feel, are true players.
Right.
I would love to see them do it again.
It's a good point you bring up, though, Todd, about why people are going against them, about the history-making part. That's what a lot of people are saying. Despite the fact that they're aging, despite the fact that Barcelona we absolutely win everything this year, and despite the fact that history is kind of looking them right in the face, saying there's no one has ever done this, has ever done back-to-back. No one has ever won two straight European championships. No one has ever won two straight World Cups. There's no way Spain are going to be able to complete this kind of run. So.
Well, they can say all they want, Aaron, but I disagree 100%. I just feel that they're going to, at the end of the day, they are going to go through. I think the Netherlands has a good squad.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ben Torsi didn't have the greatest year for Manchester United, but, we can talk about David Moyes and blame him for that, which we have, and we will again. But, they've got a strong squad. When you look at their squad man for man against Spain, or even against some of the other big teams in the tournament, yes, you have Ed Fulci, but you've also got guys like Dirk Kuyt, who I've never thought was a good player. He's just a bull in a china shop running around. He's brainless. Nigel Belong, just a hatchet, just kicking guys. He should still be embarrassed for what he did in the final in 2010.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah, he's just embarrassing, But I also think in Louis van Gaal, you have a very, very good coach, a very educated coach, a coach that's been there and done that at every single level. And I think he's going to have his team very, very prepared. We were reading that they're going to be playing a 5-3-2, which, it will basically turn into a 3-5-2 with the outside back bombing forward.
Yeah.
You've got a Wesley Sneijder in the center of midfield.
Yep.
We do have some good players there, but if I'm looking at this roof, Spain is coming out first.
Yeah, I think I've actually got it switched the other way around. I've got Holland surprising Spain in the first one. I'm basing that off of, I'll tell you why, I'm basing that off of Spain's first game in the 2010 World Cup when they lost to Switzerland 1-0 before going on to win everything.
Yeah.
Switzerland didn't even get out of the group. Spain goes on, wins the whole thing.
Starting team.
I think later on in the quarterfinals, semifinals is where Holland for me starts to fade a little bit.
Well,
but
let's just talk about the other two teams in the group, because really a likely scenario would be the two teams drawn in that first game, and then it's going to come down to goal differential and how they fare against the two other teams in the group, and so that's going to come into play.
Yeah, that'll be. Chileans have a great opportunity in South America, kind of in their own home backyard. Chile's not an easy team to play, by the way.
No.
The team that I think that's going to really help is Australia. I mean, Australia. It's just one of those where there's always a couple teams where you just look at the imbalance, and Holland, Spain, and Australia, Chile. I mean, who are you going to pick?
Well, yeah.
I mean, Chile is a possibility. They've got some weapons, but I mean, like we discussed, with Holland and Spain, those first two teams, it's just too much.
Well, I think that, I mean, yeah, Chile, if you qualify out of South America, you're a good team.
Yeah. Right.
And they are in South America, giving them a distinct advantage. They're not going to win either of those games. It's really just going to depend on who rattles the score higher against them, and really who runs the score up most against Australia.
Right.
Australia is in for a tough run there, and you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, Timmy Cahill found some success in New York with the Red Bulls, but yeah. And I don't think he's going to find the same success in Brazil. So it's
going to be quite the same.
Australia coming out first, and Holland coming out second of that group, Aaron.
All right, yeah, I've just got that reversed. I got Holland first, Spain second.
Okay,
so it'll be good. Looking forward to it.
Again, I think that Spain-Holland game is just one that's...
I do love the start of it. I mean, really, the World Cup final going right again.
Yeah.
Doing it right all over. I love it.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. is what it is. It really is. So let's move on to Group C, though.
Group C, looking good. We got the, in my opinion, the best African team out there right now, Ivory Coast. Yeah. Yaya Toure, enough said.
Yeah.
Didier Drogba, I mean, it's just endless.
Yeah, Kalu. I think Didier Drogba is as old as Roger Mila.
I think so.
But,
I mean, he's still so dangerous. How is he still so good?
He's still a massive human. And just as a target, I still don't think there's many. I don't think he could still be the best target forward in this World Cup. He's a monster. You see guys trying to defend him.
Yeah.
And these are guys that are world-class defenders.
Yeah.
And they're crawling all over him like a child, you know. I mean, they look like children in behind him, you know, trying to climb up on his back and win headers. He's just backing into him, just sealing him off.
Yes.
I mean, he really, really is a special target. And, you know, Yaya Toure, I think we talked about it this week. I think he's one of the top five players in the world right now.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no question. He is one of the top players in the world at this moment. And onto this stage,
yep.
I think he can because, you know, you saw it at Barcelona in the Spanish League. Now you've seen it consistently in the Premier League. It's not like, you know, it's not like a one-off where he has a couple good games. Every time he steps on the field, he's the best player on the field.
He's
a box-to-box midfield player. He covers a ton of ground. He's very intelligent, and he's dangerous. He can score goals. He can set goals up. I think he's the complete package. So, you know, I think in Ivory Coast you have a very, very good team here, and I would agree probably the best African team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Colombia in there, you know, what do you think about them? I like Colombia, the fact that this South American team, they got some good firepower.
Yeah.
They got a real rare guy, Jackson. It's good stuff, nice striking forward. We'll see. It's a good team. And then there's the team that shocked everybody in 2004, Greece. What about that? What about the Greek defense getting in there with some 0-0 runs? And we'll see. It'll be really interesting. And I think...
in Greece, obviously, they're capable of winning tournaments. I mean, they won the European
Championships in 2004. I'm still blown away by that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is.
Yeah,
extraordinary. And you've got, you know, I mean, I think that they're capable of doing things.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, Colombia, they're in South America. We've talked about the distinct advantage of being there.
Absolutely.
And being on the home turf. It's a tough one for me. This is another one where it's similar to Group A, where
mm-hmm.
I think Ivory Coast for sure.
Right. But there's one team we haven't talked about yet. That's Japan.
Yeah, that's true. And that's who, I mean, really, I think the blue-collar, the blue-collar attitude of that team, Keisuke Honda is a fantastic, a fantastic player. You've got a team that proved you know, when they hosted the World Cup in
2002. Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough call. I've struggled with this group.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it this week when we met, and, you know, I struggle with it as well. But at the end of the day, I think Ivory Coast is definitely going to come out first, and I think Japan's going to come out second.
I said something similar to that. I also said Ivory Coast. At first, actually, I didn't think so because for whatever reason they would struggle as kind of the traveling team over there, but I went in the Ivory Coast in the end, and then I decided to pick Colombia. I think Colombia's got some good weapons, of course.
They do. I think when you've got trouble finishing, you know, they struggle with the kind of product. A lot of their goals, you know, come from the midfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, Shinji Kagawa, obviously a Manchester United player who hasn't really caught on yet, but he was a great player at Borussia Dortmund. He is a great player when he plays for Japan. And I think that you've got a couple players there that are they're so great. There's so much attention to detail in their shape and in their tactics. And I think they will get their goals out of midfield. When you've got Keisuke Honda and you've got Shinji Kagawa and you need goals out of midfield, that's not a bad duo to have. And so, to me, it's definitely Ivory Coast and Japan coming out of that group.
All right. I'm going with Colombia. Proximity.
Oh, wow. Man.
Good.
Okay. Good. Well, moving on, let's get into
Group D.
Group D.
Oh, yeah. Italy. What do you think? Italy? England?
Yeah.
Uruguay? A lot of possibilities out there. Costa Rica?
We talked about this group. You can write Italy off, and people are saying, Italy, you know, they've got nothing and this and that, but gosh, we went through their roster, and it's like, oh, yeah, they still have him. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
he's still there. Oh,
exactly.
They have
Juventus' entire back line plus the goalkeeper.
Right.
Balotelli
is a complete wild card, but look what he did at the European Championships. And everybody wrote Italy off for the European Championships, and there they were in the final. And I think that if you talk about England, I think it's probably the most overrated team in the history of the world. The only good thing England's got going for them now is that they've got a manager in Roy Hodgson that understands they are what they are, and they're just going to lump the ball up the field and play Route 1 football and very direct, ugly, and try to get the ball into Rooney and in behind. But I don't see it. I don't see it out of Wayne Rooney in this World Cup.
Again, for the third time.
I don't see it out of Steven Gerrard. Their back line is shocking, and I was talking with our favorite English friend, one Andrew Machen, who even himself believes that they won't get out of the group. I'm even calling for Costa Rica to upset England in group play, and so mark my words on that. Costa Rica upsetting.
If it was in San Jose, I might give that to you. I don't know about Brazil. I don't know.
Costa Rica, Central America.
Yeah.
England coming over, not dealing with the heat well.
Could be interesting.
I don't know. But let's talk Uruguay. I think Uruguay, to me, is a favorite to go very far in this tournament.
Yeah.
We can talk Cavani. We can talk Suarez.
The firepower those guys have right now and the way they've been playing and their finish, you know, they lost to Germany 3-2 in 2010, finished fourth place.
Yeah.
I think they're probably one of the best looking national teams right now, who actually look and play like a fluid, almost like a club team a little bit.
Yeah.
They're fast paced, hard. It's good.
You're gonna have the option to bring Diego Forlan in off the bench.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which I thought he was fantastic in 2010. Uruguay to me they win this group. Uruguay wins this group. Italy comes out second because I believe Italy ties tie England, and I believe they beat Costa Rica, and I believe that they lose to Uruguay.
I think Uruguay sweeps the group,
and I think that England ties Italy and loses to both Costa Rica and Uruguay.
I see England beating Costa Rica. I see them tying Italy. I think that's a pretty good call, actually. And then I do see them going down to Uruguay.
Suarez, you know, he had his knee surgery there, but he's going to be fine. He's a good player. I'm not a huge fan of Luis Suarez in terms of his antics and whatnot, but
right.
as a player, I think he's one of the best. He's another top five guy in the world right now.
Yeah.
And I think he's, you know, I think he's one of the best guys, but one of the best strikers. And Cavani, same thing. I mean, look at what the guy did at PSG this year. He was amazing.
Yeah.
And those two together are amazing. And I agree that, you know, as a strike force and as a team, they do look more like a cohesive club team in the way they play. Being at home in South America,
this
team is winning this group, in my opinion, and Italy goes through second.
I was actually going back 4 years in 2010, watching a little Uruguay-Ghana, and the final minute, some fan had recorded it from the stadium. It was great.
Oh, really?
He was from the Ghanaian section. And right when Luis Suarez, remember when Luis Suarez does the handball? Oh, John, this is the penalty kick.
Yes.
And it reminded me, the noise was so loud in the stadium. Are you going to miss the Vuvuzelas for this tournament? Bob, are you going to miss those?
I am not going to miss the Vuvuzelas. No. No, those rang in my head until 2012, actually. I didn't get those out of my head until 2012.
You should actually check this video out. It was absolutely deafening from this fan's point of view. This guy's just filming it from either his phone or regular camcorder, and it is so loud. It's just, you can't hear anything else. You can hear people kind of yelling, but you couldn't hear anything else.
Yeah, sure. So you were calling on this group?
Yeah, I actually do. You called it. You called what I picked. I think Uruguay win the group. I think they have the team to do it, and I got Italy in second, just because it is Italy, and they can surprise people, and that's a team, like in Germany, when they get into the World Cup, there's something, some switch happens, and they just have the formula down, and they march their way through as bad or as good as they're playing.
That's my question. You say they surprise people, but is it really a surprise?
No, it's not a surprise.
They've been there every World Cup, though, every European championship.
Yep.
It's not like they drop off like France had.
Right.
They're always there. They've got a ton of national pride. Those guys play very hard for their country.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no inter squabbling or anything else. You know, you could talk about all of the match fixing and everything else and the Italian Serie A and everything else. These guys will play their hearts out for their country, and you'll see it every time they step on the field.
Yep.
Even Mario Balotelli will.
Right. And I you know what? I'm excited to see Andrea Pirlo play one last tournament. I have the most respect for that guy.
He gives me hope as an old man playing over 30s. He gives me hope that I can still play soccer properly.
He's astounding. He is one of those names that will go down for a long time.
He's the Italian
running gigs. Yeah. His passing is absolutely just a pleasure to watch. And
I'm looking forward
to it. And Daniele De Rossi is another guy. We don't see too much Serie A.
No,
like, you know,
we don't see it too much over here in the States.
Here
it's not very publicized.
Yeah, it's
but,
not, but it'll be nice to see those guys.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to the next group there, Aaron. Go
All
ahead.
Right, Group F. We got, Group
E
after D.
Oh, running this alphabet here as we're going through the show. It's been a very educational process.
Well, yeah, it's one step at a time here for me. We got an interesting group here, as you just mentioned, France. France is in this group, of course. Honduras, Ecuador, and Switzerland. Now, looking at this, we'll talk about France first, because for me that's the most interesting team. As I think about France 98, I kind of want to take it back in history a little bit. France 98, remember Zidane, they were the hosts, Djorkaeff, Didier Deschamps, Laurent Blanc, the whole team, Dugarry, throwing out a few old names there, but France goes on and wins the 1998 World Cup, world champions. Fast forward 4 years to 2002, complete total meltdown, problems, Zidane getting a card. The team doesn't get out of the group, okay? Fast forward another 4 years, 2006, kind of a similar, some of the Zidane is still there. They still got a few of the old guys in there, and they take it all the way to the final. And if Zidane doesn't headbutt Materazzi, I think France actually wins the World Cup. And by the way, just to throw this out, there, probably one of the best penalty kicks I've ever seen in my life, Zidane, to get that goal. That was absolutely...
Well, it's also one of the top headbutts ever.
Mind-blowing. Yeah, top headbutts. But so there, so you go from World Cup champions to meltdown to World Cup finalists to South Africa in 2010, and Anelka walking out, getting booted off the team, then boycott from the rest of the team. They do not finish out of the group. And do you remember their 2010 group? Uruguay, okay, decent team. Mexico, you know, fair enough. South Africa, those were France results. 0-0 tie with Uruguay, 2-0 loss to Mexico, 2-1 loss to South Africa, who, by the way, were probably one of the worst teams in France in the tournament. That was France.
Yeah.
That was the World Cup finalist.
Well, we talked about this week. France, I mean, talk about some guys that don't seem to have any national pride. And, I mean, the one player that has played with the most pride for them in the last 20 years is Zidane, and he's Algerian. He's not even French.
Moving over from there.
And, you know, I think that, in France, with Didier Deschamps now as the coach, I think that there's a guy who has some, you know, has a lot of pride in what he accomplished as a player for France and has a lot of pride for that country. But so did Laurent Blanc. And, I think made a big statement leaving Samir Nasri off the team because of the obvious problems that he can cause.
Yeah.
France, we look at him now, Ribéry is out for the entire World Cup. He's one of their best striking options. We've got Karim Benzema, another Algerian, by the way, who is, obviously had a great year for Real Madrid. He can be very good. You've got young Paul Pogba, who famously let go.
Ferguson.
Tough one. They let him go, yet they took David Moyes. So that was interesting. But teams are wild card to me. It's a wild card. Yeah, if they can get together, if they can bring themselves together and play, yes, I think they could be good. But they need that central figure, a Zidane, and Emmanuel Petit, the players, Patrick Vieira. These are the players in 98 in the center of the park that held this group together that made the other guys unify. They don't have that player.
No, they don't.
Ribéry wasn't going to be that player. No. Pogba, not that player. No. They don't have that guy. Benzema is not that player, and I don't know if I see this going well for France.
Yeah, they've got some, and they definitely have some creativity, but they're all kind of individuals. You got the Johan Cabaye, you got Mathieu Valbuena, Matuidi, Loic Remy out on the wings. I mean, they got pace, they got quality, but
they don't have that central figure to run the show.
Yeah, I'm sure Didier Deschamps is looking at it right now and probably kind of deciding what he can do. You know, Koscielny is a good player back there. Zachary Sagne is a good player. But, yeah, you're right. Hugo Lloris, I mean, that's a great goalkeeper you have. It's good quality. But
let's talk about the other European team in this group, Switzerland. To me, on the verge in the last, few World Cups. Really, really breaking through. You've got some good club teams. Basel has done well in the Champions League, for a few years. You've got some players playing at big clubs. I see Switzerland also, obviously, Omar Hitzfeld is their coach. He's been harboring himself in the Swiss Alps for some time. he's a guy that's had a ton of success. He's, this is kind of his last hurrah. He's retiring. And I think he's the same age as Roger Mila. I see Switzerland doing very well in this World Cup. And what do you think about Switzerland?
Yeah, I think they did. They've had a couple good last kind of warm-up friendlies, a little 1-0 over Jamaica, 2-0 over Peru. They do have, you mentioned Basel, Jurdan Shaqiri, who's now at Bayern Munich.
Right.
Fabulous player.
Yeah. So one of the top young European players.
Yeah, absolutely. And Hitzfeld, after they didn't qualify for the 2012 European Championships, kind of brought in a whole different class of guys, and he's part of it, Shaqiri. And they also have Joseph Dermich, 17 goals for Nuremberg this year. He's now going to Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah,
great player up top. So Switzerland, they had Spain and Chile last time in the 2010 World Cup coming out along with Honduras. So they get Honduras again this time around.
We'll talk about them last.
But yeah, I think Switzerland do look good. They have a good back line. Philipp Stendross is in the team again.
Yeah.
Stefan Lichtsteiner from Juventus.
Yep.
So it's a good team, great coach.
Very solid team,
very, solid.
Very well coached. They're going to be organized. You know that they're going to play with a ton of national pride. I mean, I spent a month in Switzerland in 2012, and it's a phenomenal country.
Yeah.
It's just such a great country, and the people have so much pride there. I mean, they're one of the only European countries not to go on the Euro. They've got their Swiss friend at Starbucks. It costs about $12 there if you want to get a coffee. But it's a country with a ton with a ton of national pride,
yeah.
And I think that you're going to see Switzerland do very well. But you also have a South American team in this group that you
yep.
cannot count out in Ecuador. And
yeah.
you know, if you look at Ecuador, you're not going to see a ton of big names. You're not going to see a ton of guys that are playing at these great big the top six European clubs.
Mm-hmm.
However. Like I said earlier, you've got a team that's qualified out of South America. They're good. There's
yeah.
no question they're good. If they qualified out of South America, they've got a good team, and they're playing on, basically on their home soil.
Right. It's interesting you mentioned the qualifications. Real quick, I wanted to say about Switzerland. They finished 7-3-0, but their group was Albania, Cyprus, Norway, Slovenia, and Iceland. Not exactly the most difficult group. That said, they didn't lose a game, so they ended up being 7-3. Now moving on to Ecuador. Ecuador, Todd, as you know, Quito, Ecuador, being way up there in the clouds, they only dropped 2 points in Quito, but they didn't win a single game outside of Quito, Ecuador. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They have Antonio Valencia.
They got Valencia, who didn't have a great year at Manchester United.
No,
however, it's you make a fair point because you're basically playing in the Himalayas when you go to Quito. I mean,
yeah,
most people can't even breathe when they get there, when they
yeah.
get off the plane.
12,000 feet there or something like that? Something crazy.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
up there.
Good luck.
I think that in Ecuador you've got a team that's going to cause some problems.
They will.
Unlike Honduras.
Right. Well, and Ecuador just drew England 2-2 not long ago. They lost to Mexico 3-1, but it was a 2-2 draw to England.
Yeah.
That
shows you a little bit about where England's at, too. Because that game wasn't in Quito, was it? No, it wasn't.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That gives you more of an insight into England than it does Ecuador.
But
I did watch the Mexico-Ecuador game. Horrible broken leg in that game. What a shocker. That guy, I wish he never went into that tackle. But Ecuador didn't look terrible in that game. I think that really what you have here is, when you talk about Honduras, we were reading Honduras as top player, has struggled to make a mark in the MLS with the New England
yeah.
Revolution.
Yeah, Jerry Bengston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, Jay.
Yeah.
Because if that's Honduras' top player and he's struggling to make his mark in the MLS, you're going to struggle to make your mark in Brazil.
Yeah. I mean, he scored 9 goals in qualifying is why he was, it's so highly touted.
Yeah, and
not exactly hot right now.
I'm pretty sure a lot of those were against, the Turks and the Caicos or, whoever, those early qualifying games when they were –
the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, right. Playing the teams that were on islands smaller than Seattle here. But here's what I have to say. If France is not right, just as they lost to South America in 2010, they could
yep.
lose. Ecuador could sneak a game off of them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's possible for Honduras to sneak a game off
yeah.
of them. Although, you never know. I mean, it's a crazy football. It's a crazy game, and anything can happen. But I see this group. I see this group going Switzerland first, and I see France sneaking in. After losing to Switzerland, I think that they're going to sneak in and get results against Ecuador and Honduras.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good call. Honduras, I mentioned before, Honduras and Switzerland were in the same group last time in South Africa. And they drew 0-0. So
yeah,
Things can happen.
I mean, the one thing I say about Honduras, every time you watch them play the U.S.,
they beat the U.S. as well, actually, qualifying,
Those guys will kick anything that moves.
Yeah.
I mean, when
they're,
it gets down to it, they're very tough, they're a very rugged team. If things aren't going well, they'll just start hatcheting guys. They'll just start kicking guys and make it hard for them to face.
Right.
They'll frustrate them. A lot of cheap, dirty stuff off the ball, make it their type of game. You never know, because the French, as we know, are very susceptible to complete meltdowns.
Right.
You never know. They could melt down very easily.
Right.
And they could sneak a draw there.
And we do give Honduras kind of a hard time, but they are, they do have some quality a little bit. Manny Figueroa, Hull City, he's seen some great games in the Premier League. And then FA Cup winner Roger Espinoza from Wigan. So that's, Honduras, their backs are against the wall like most of the smaller teams in here, like in Australia. But they've got some possibilities.
Yeah,
okay. Who'd you pick again?
I'm going Switzerland first, and I'm going France sneaking in second.
Let's see. Well, I have got Switzerland first and France second. Same thing. Yeah, I think
I think you've been cheating off my test.
What's that? That's two in a row.
Yeah, you've been cheating off my test. I'm telling the Randy Adams cheating off me.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't fill out the last half of my bracket.
Yeah.
Good look.
All right, let's move on now. Let's test the alphabet. We're going on to Group Aaron.
Yes. F comes
excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so Group F.
We have, you ready?
Yeah.
We have Argentina, Iran, Nigeria, and Bosnia-Herzegovina.
You did well pronouncing that.
Thank you very much.
Nice. We're actually going to see Nigeria tonight against the United States.
It'll be good to see them.
Obviously, we can talk Argentina, so let's just start with them. We talked about this a couple shows ago about Leo Messi when he re-signed with Barcelona. This is a big World Cup for Leo Messi.
Mm-hmm.
Barcelona didn't find the success of the team that they were used to this year. And Messi really, while he's been good on the international stage, I would say it's fair to say he's never been great. He's never found the greatness that, say, a Ronaldo did with Brazil, you know, in the 90s, in the early 2000s, you know, that just that utter greatness when he's playing for his home country, you know, with, like a Diego Maradona,
right.
Somebody familiar to him.
Right.
So this is big. This is a big tournament for him. And, you know, he's lucky. He's got some great strike partners to play with. And, you know, he's a very unselfish player, Leo Messi. And I think the stage is set for him to really make his mark on the international stage. It's a South American World Cup, very close to his home country. And, I think this could be the World Cup where you see Leo Messi break out on the international stage.
Yeah, he's got – and all the games are actually in the south of Brazil, so it's close to home anyways for Argentina, even closer now. The backup that he's got, I mean, just looking at this lineup is just kind of laughable. Di Maria in the midfield, Mascherano in the center, Gago on the right. And then in front of those three, you've got Messi and then Sergio Aguero to his left and Higuain to his right. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious. Carlos Tevez not even on the team. And he just won the Serie A with Juventus. I mean, say what you like, if you like Carlos Tevez or not, but the guy scores goals. He's a good player.
Yeah, well, he's not good enough.
I'll tell you what, if you look at Kun Aguero, this guy played
for Manchester City. When he's in there, they're a very different team.
Yep.
Obviously, he won the Premier League for them 2 years ago on the last kick of the season. It's just an amazing goal. The thing I love about Aguero is the guy has a bite to him. He's got passion. He's such a great player. His movement is so good. And I think him with Messi, if those three up there can connect and if they can get moves, if they can start combining and moving off each other and playing off each other, I mean, they're a team that, you know, very much like a Spain, I think you'd be very, very naive to not put them in the final conversation.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you said it, Todd, this is Lionel Messi's. I think if there's one thing that, I mean, you know, he's used to pressure, but this is going to be a little bit of extra pressure. I mean,
oh,
now it's
I
the World
extra
Cup.
Pressure.
It's the one trophy he doesn't have in his cabinet, and it's the one that's going to be staring at in the face for the rest of history. I mean, I guess if I want to get, you know,
bold
about it, but it's true.
Barring a major injury or something horrible happening to him, he's going to play in another World Cup, though. Probably two more.
For sure.
Probably two more.
It could 2022, that'd be close. But, yeah, you could be right.
Could it be 24?
Yeah, it's 2025, something like that. But,
so, he's out of 33,
yeah.
I see it happening.
Yeah, it's possible, you're right.
He's playing another two World Cups barring injury or, you know, he just gets bored and retires. But it's got to happen right now.
Yeah.
This has got to be his World Cup because he can't wait another 4 years to make his mark there. I mean, he's put his stamp on football as one of the best players of all time.
Yeah, oh yeah. But he will
not be the best player of all time unless he can conquer a World Cup.
And he certainly won't step out of Maradona's shadow if he doesn't win a World Cup.
Not in Argentina. He won't step out of Pelé's shadow in South America as
the
South American player ever.
No, he won't. Even in the world side, I think, actually, people would still question that if he doesn't. Because, I mean, it's not – well, those guys were all playing with great people, but he's going to be leaning on a Di Maria. He's going to be leaning on Sergio Aguero. Like we said, Higuain. I mean, those are world-class players. So So he's not doing it alone by any means.
No, he's not doing it alone by any means. But, I mean, if you look at Maradona, and
yeah.
he had players around him as
right.
well.
Right, Kempes.
Yeah, I mean, he had Tunisia. And so did Pele. But I think point taken, this has got to be his World Cup. And it's funny because here he is. He's going to be fighting with Neymar to make it his World Cup. The two teammates that, you know, I don't think there was any friction between them, but, you know, they're still struggling to find the right combination of those two at Barcelona. And here they are, kind of the two guys fighting to make this their World Cup in Brazil. You know, just kind of an interesting side storyline there. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes down. But let's go through the other teams in this group, because I think a lot of it is going to be where these early round games go for Messi. Can he get going? Can he get a couple goals early, get some confidence going, and get moving on in the tournament?
Oh, I think so. I mean, the setting's right for him. By the way, the last time we saw Argentina in a World Cup was 2010 South Africa in the quarterfinals, and the game ended Germany 4, Argentina 0. Remember that game where Germany absolutely tore them apart? Oh, yeah.
From Germany.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, Iran. We can talk Iran real quick. Carlos Queiroz.
We can talk about him real quick.
Carlos
Queiroz. I will say.
Impressive.
Of all of the Manchester United success in the 2000s, a lot. I mean, you could ask Sir Alex Ferguson himself. A lot of it came down to Carlos Queiroz.
Yeah.
A great coach, a great manager, and you know he's been very outspoken since he's become the manager of Iran that they're very. I'm not very motivated in terms of pushing the football there in that country. You know, they've got a couple guys. They've also got an American-born player playing for the Vancouver Whitecaps in the MLS.
Fetazor.
Defender.
Yep.
You know, they've got a couple players, but, I mean, obviously, I think this is going to be a team that struggles in this group.
Yeah, coming through Asia, the one interesting piece about Iran is they did have 10 clean sheets in qualifying, most of anyone coming into the tournament. So they're going to have a tough back line, but, again, they just haven't seen the quality that most everybody else has seen to get here. The last time we saw Iran in a World Cup, because they didn't qualify in 2010, it was 2006. The results, they didn't get out of the group. They lost 3-1 to Mexico, 2-0 to Portugal, and then they drew Angola 1-1 in the end. The only World Cup win Iran has ever had was in 1998 in France against the United States. You remember that result? When we finished.
I forgot about that, but now I remember. I remember is Steve Sampson's head in his hands when they scored.
Funny story about that, Todd. I was actually in France for the World Cup at that time, getting on a train after that game. And we rolled out of the station, next stop 20 minutes down the road. Me and my buddies were just kind of depressed because we just watched the game on TV in a different part of the country. We get to the next station. We pull up. There's probably 30 Iranian men standing outside this train, jumping up and down in celebration. They all happened to get into our car. Really nice people, but we had to listen to the...
Yeah.
We took it, and they just wanted to know, like, what do you think about your team? Oh, obviously they were terrible.
Yeah.
We just had to hear about it. I heard about it for 2 hours, I think, on the train. God. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
Yeah, that is brutal. And Steve Sampson's never lived that down, I don't think. Yeah, he's coaching youth soccer in Southern California at this point as a result of that game.
Yeah, so Iran, so... Yep. So thinking about, you know, for Argentina's opportunities, I mean, I don't see Iran doing much.
I really don't. But it's
yeah, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Dzeko.
Yeah, Edin Dzeko, who has proven. I feel like every time he steps on the field for City, he scores.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very good player. But I think you're looking at a similar team in Bosnia.
Herzegovina?
Yeah, you do that well. I think you're looking at a team there that's very similar to Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some crafty Eastern European guys. You know, they're good on the ball. They're tricky. They're going to be a hard. You know, I think that you've got a team there that's.
It's going to be some creative, some good moving players. Miralem Pjanic, Roma. I mean, I saw him first playing for Lyon. He's fantastic. Fantastic, creative midfielding player. Guy moves the ball really well.
This is their first World Cup.
Yeah, and this is their first World Cup. That's right, actually.
They're the only team to be in this is their first World
that's
Cup.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's a good
and,
point.
And, you know, it's obviously a lot of pride involved with that, and they're going to be a little green, but I think they're in a group that, you know, they could Pull them out, eh? Let's talk about Nigeria, though. Obviously, we're going to see them later tonight. They won the 2013 African Cup of Nations. Victor Moses, you know, they've got Joseph Yobo. They've got Peter Odemwingie, Shalo Amoebi, or Amoebi.
Yeah, Amoebi. Yeah, I'm the new Catholic.
Whatever you say that. I think Nigeria, to me, is a wild card team.
Yeah.
They're a total wild card team. They're already being investigated before the World Cup's even started for match fixing, which to me is just unbelievable. And, they're obviously a lot of trouble going on back home in their country.
It's been a rough year for them already.
It's been a rough year for them. It's been a very rough year. I think that they're a wild card team for me.
Yeah, I agree. You just don't know where you're going to get from Nigeria. The last time I remember seeing Nigeria play Argentina was in the USA 94, which is kind of interesting. They're back together in the group again. But, we got a little bit. We got Obafemi Martins here in Seattle, former Nigerian guy. He won the 2013.
Yeah, he did, and then he wasn't in the team, but he's playing very well for us.
Yeah,
in Seattle.
So it's kind of nice to have him. Nice to have him back. But, yeah, interesting. It will be interesting, I think. I guess going down to the results, I've got Argentina winning this group, and I've got Bosnia finishing second.
Yeah, I have the same thing.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I'm tempted to go with Nigeria just because, and it could end up very well being Nigeria because it's on.
Yeah.
And Odemwingie gets hot, or they've got a young team.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys we don't even know.
Yep.
They get hot, and you never know what's going to happen, but. I like Bosnia. I think that they're going to be, even though it's their first World Cup, I think they get the result they need against Iran, and I think they get the result they need against Nigeria, and they go through.
Yeah.
So that Argentina, to me, is a massive favorite to
go
a long way.
The reason why I'm so excited for this World Cup is because you are going to see Argentina on their home turf. It's really their opportunity to win it, but guess what? It's also Brazil's opportunity. It's really to see the South American countries coming at it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Spain. Oh,
okay. Well, listen. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heisen here on From the Touchline for 90 minutes. We're doing our big World Cup preview here for Blog Talk Radio and BackSportsPage.com back in New York City. We're happy to be here in Seattle. It's been a rough week here in Seattle. Just wanted to mention the shooting that went on actually right down the hill from us here in Seattle on Queen Anne Hill, Seattle Pacific University, where actually I played my college soccer and spent my college years. It hit home for me. I took classes in Otto Miller Hall where the shooting occurred. And just a horrible, horrible thing here. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the families involved and all the students at Seattle Pacific. It's a very small campus here on Queen Anne Hill, right at the north side of Queen Anne Hill. Not something you would ever expect to happen at this campus. Just a very small Christian community there, and it's just a horrible tragedy. And it got us, Aaron and I, pre-show here talking about the gun laws here in the United States, and just something's got to be done. It's just too much. It's just happening over and over again. We've got, it seems like every twice a week we're dealing with some sort of tragedy of this fashion. And, here up on the touchline for 90 minutes, Aaron and I say, this is enough. It's enough.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Something's got to change.
Yeah.
For sure.
Very, very sad.
Definitely.
Very sad week here in Seattle.
Absolutely.
And
especially so close to, like you said, so close to literally down the hill.
Yeah, literally. I mean, Aaron and I could walk there from where we're at right now in probably 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just a very sad day on Thursday here in Seattle. Aaron and I doing our pre-show meeting, just staring at the TV. We actually didn't get anything done, just staring at the TV, at the images, and everything going on. And just a very, very sad week here. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody involved and all students and faculty at Seattle Pacific University. And with that, we're going to move on here, and we've got 30 minutes here left, Aaron, and I could see us spending 30 minutes on this review.
Yeah.
Because we've got a lot to talk about here. We're going to save the U.S. for last.
Yeah, we will.
That's what we're going to talk about the most. But let's start with Germany. We just found out today Marco Reus is out for the World Cup.
Yep.
Did his ankle badly, out for 6 weeks. He'll be out. However, there is no shortage of attacking options for this German team, and a German team that has been in the semifinals each of the last three World Cups.
At least the semifinals,
At least the semifinals. A definite favorite to go very far in this. And if you look at the likes of Miroslav Klose, Thomas Müller, Mario Götze, you've got a Bastian Schweinsteiger sitting in behind them, Philipp Lahm in the back. I mean, this is a team that it's just a world power. I mean, that's what else can you say?
Yeah, Joachim Löw knows what he's doing. I think he's actually now signed a contract to go through 2016, even in the Euros. And you're right. I think, Tom, actually, this is my team over Spain for Europe. If Europe has the best chance of winning it, it's going to be in Germany. Like you said, a few of those names, I'll just read off one of their most recent starting lineups. Neuer, obviously, best goalkeeper in the world. Jerome Boateng, Mats Hummels from Borussia Dortmund, Per Mertesacker, Philipp Lahm, sitting in front of those guys, Schweinsteiger, Sami Khedira just back from injury at Real Madrid, Ozil, Muller on the right, close up top, and Podolski, and then I haven't even mentioned, Royce, which is a shame, what a loss to have him go down, but I haven't even mentioned Goetze.
No.
Draxler is not in there. Toni Kroos is not in there. Chelsea's Andre Schürrle is not in there. Those guys are all on the bench. So it's a ridiculous team.
It really is. And, you know, they've had their good years in the past. You know, they've had great World Cups. I see them being very good in this World Cup. You know, what else can you say? I mean, what else can you say about them? They're just going to be that good.
They're going to be extremely solid.
I think when anybody's looking at Group G, everybody's saying Germany's going to win it, and it's going to be who's going to come out as the second-place team.
Totally, absolutely. It's a great point.
I think you factor Germany in as you would Brazil in Group F.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's that. I think those three, Argentina, Brazil, and Germany, those are the three that, without a doubt, are going to win the group.
Yeah, so let's talk Portugal. Obviously, Portugal squeaking by Mexico last night on a 93rd-minute goal in a friendly. Didn't look good. Cristiano Ronaldo. Pepe came on late. Bruno Alves did play, but I don't think he's great. I'm very sad that Cristiano Ronaldo is hurt. I hope that he
How bad do you think it is?
Well, I mean, they're saying he's got tendonitis and a thigh problem. To me, it sounds like he had the tendonitis in the Champions League final. He sat out the 2 weeks prior to it. You know, he played. He wasn't great in that final. You could just see he wasn't very active.
Right.
He wasn't himself. You know, I think probably the tendonitis, he was compensating for the tendonitis, gave himself a thigh injury. It's all on the same leg. Tendonitis in your knee and that patella tendon can be very painful, especially for a guy who's 6'4", who relies on changing direction as quickly and as abruptly as he does. And if he loses that change of direction, then he's not Cristiano Ronaldo, And so I think it's sad because I was also looking at this World Cup to be a great World Cup. He's never similar to Messi. He's never really broken through on the international stage. He did in qualifying when he got a hat trick on the final day and qualified them, over Sweden. And showed what he was capable of doing. I hope that they can get him sorted out. I honestly, I don't think they will because this is not something that you just fix. Tendonitis. They're saying even the word degeneration has been used. And that means that tendon is degenerated. Degenerating. I think it's a sad day for world football in Portugal if he can't play at 100% in this World Cup. Hopefully he can. I don't think he will be able to, and I think that's gonna really hurt Portugal. I mean, they struggled. They were not great against Mexico last night. They were dead average. They played Greece in a friendly the other day as well. I thought they were dead average in that game as well. So a tough one for them. Now Ghana, when you talk Ghana, there I see a team. When you talk about Asamoah, you talk about Michael Essien, you talk about Dion, Kevin Prince-Boateng. This is a team that's not the U.S. out of the last two World Cups. They've gone very far in the last two World Cups. They're very successful at the U20 level. I think in Ghana, you have them very close. I put them very close to Ivory Coast in terms of one of the top nations coming out of Africa, and I think they're a team that are going to be very good. And I feel like they're, you know, I think all the African teams are a little bit of a wild card because they've got a lot of young players that you don't know how they're going to respond to the atmosphere,
right,
and to the environment.
Right.
But if they do respond in the right way, this could be a dangerous.
Yeah, I think and definitely they've had the U.S.'s number in the last two World Cups, so it's been tough to see. And obviously the way Ghana went out in the last World Cup, we talked about earlier, George, when we were talking about Uruguay, but that heartbreaking penalty shootout when actually Asamoah Gyan should have finished that penalty from the Suarez ball. So they're definitely going to be motivated there. I think for me, Essien, now at AC Milan, I think he's lost a little step. Jose Mourinho just loves him, thinks he's a great player, would put him anywhere. But I think he's lost a little bit of a step, and I don't think Ghana are as dangerous as they were in 2010. I was pretty afraid of them in 2010. Now I think the U.S. has a real good shot of disrupting them in the first part. But, you know, aside from the Ivory Coast, this is the team you don't want. I would rather have had somebody else.
I don't want this team.
Yeah.
I mean, for the
Cameroon,
United States,
Nigeria,
I don't want this team. And,
Algeria.
You know, if we move on to the United States, and we're gonna spend a decent amount of obviously, the draw is very difficult. Everybody's saying Ghana is the game we have to win, and I disagree. I think Portugal is the game that we can win. We did it when Brian McBride scored in 2002,
right?
And they were good. They had
right.
Echo.
They did. They were a good team.
You know, they had Luis Figo. They were a very good team, and we did it in 2002.
Right.
I disagree. I don't think Ghana is the team we have to beat. I think maybe we can hope for a draw against Ghana, but Portugal is the game we need to win. It is the game we need to win. And I think it's going to be difficult because, I mean, I love Michael Bradley. I think he's our best player. Obviously, I love Clint Dempsey. He's a Seattle Sounder, and you know, I think he's been on fire. The guy in the last few months has just been different
level
for me, and I think he's going to be good. But I think Jozy Altidore looks like he'll never score a goal in his life again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about this earlier in the week. Good at holding the ball up in the middle third of the field, gets in the final third, and he looks like a deer on ice.
Right.
He just looks clumsy. He looks unconfident. He looks like he's never going to score another goal again.
Right.
I'd almost rather go with Wondolowski up top with Dempsey or Aaron Johansson. He's got his size. He can hold the ball up in the middle of the field, but he cannot finish. He has not finished.
Yeah.
And he won't finish. I'm sorry. He's not gonna. I think the fact that Landon Donovan was left off this roster is a travesty to the American people. I think that it's Jurgen Klinsmann holding a grudge against Landon Donovan for taking a break in early 2013. And I think it's childish on Jurgen Klinsmann's part. And I think it shows the ego that we're dealing with. And I was very, very disappointed that Landon Donovan was left off, because you cannot tell me that there's not space. If you don't want to start him, fair enough, don't start him. But don't tell me that there's not room to put him in for 20 minutes and get something out of him.
Right.
He scored 5 goals in 3 World Cups. He's the most successful player in American history, and he's still good.
Right.
He's still scoring goals in the MLS, which is a high level. And to leave him off this roster and take the likes of a Julian Green and some of these other players – you know, that to me is just—it's a travesty. I'm so disappointed in Jurgen Klinsmann. I think it shows a very big flaw in his character.
Yeah, I was disappointed too. I think there's talk that you're right. If he doesn't start, that's fine. But I think the stat was coming out of 2013. He's created more chances than any other goal scoring chances for the U.S. national team than any other player. I think he had 36. I think the next one behind that was 21. It was Bradley or Dempsey. But, I mean, that's huge. I mean, so the guy comes off in 20 minutes left to go in the game. Donovan creates goal scoring chances. He's that wild card player that we have. We don't have anybody else there like that.
No, and we don't have anybody who's done what he's done at this
absolutely.
Level.
Absolutely. I mean, Mix Diskerud's a great player. I'm glad he's in the team. Jermaine Jones, you know, I'm glad
he's
to have him there.
But, he's the right guy to play behind Bradley, no question. But Jermaine Jones is going to play every game.
Yeah.
And Kyle Beckerman's not going to play.
Not going to play, right.
And so why would you use that roster spot on him? Julian Green's not going to play.
No.
He's not going to play. So why would you waste that roster spot on him? And I'm even going to say DeAndre Yedlin, who, fair play to him that he's made this name for himself and that he's done this. And I'm glad to see you when they played these last two friendlies that I think Jordan Clayson probably made him take the awful coloring out of his hair. He actually looks somewhat human now.
Right.
But DeAndre Yedlin doesn't belong on this team.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He struggles to defend properly in the MLS.
Right.
Struggles immensely. He lost the ball every time he touched it against Azerbaijan.
Right.
My problem is, how are you going to use DeAndre Yedlin?
Right.
How are you going to use him? When are you going to use him? And why? What would be the reason you would use him in any of these games? And, he's got two.
I think that's the one thing. I think that's it.
But you're going to take a roster spot away from your all-time leading scorer, Landon Donovan. I don't know.
I totally agree.
I mean, like you said, unless Jordan Clayton suits up himself and puts himself up top,
I wouldn't mind that.
I can't see any reason for him to do this other than that just, you know, it's all ego. And he's been in a pissing match with Landon Donovan. Can I say that, Randy? Pissing match? I just did it. It was Landon Donovan since Landon took the break from the national team and from the MLS in 2013. You know, he publicly said MLS is fine, but I read and heard many things behind the scenes that there was a lot of conflict between those two players. And it's almost like Klinsmann was just waiting for this moment to just show, like, no, I'm the boss. I'm the one who has control over this. So he brought him through the Gold Cup last year, talked him up, brought him through all of the qualifying, brought him through all of the training camp, you know, said, oh, I'm going to announce the roster on this date, and then surprised everybody, did it 6 days prior to when he said he was going to announce it, and just cut the best player from the United States in the history of the World Cup.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me. It's absolutely shocking to me. I couldn't be more disappointed in Jurgen Klinsmann, and I'm going to go on it right now. It's going to backfire on him. The U.S. is not going to get through this. I'm calling Germany first. I'm calling Ghana second. Portugal out. U.S. out.
There it is. Todd Stauber. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm very happy that Tim Howard and Brad Guzan are both goalkeeping. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think Nick Raimondo, obviously, if Tim Howard and Brad Guzan both fall down the stairs, then there's Nick Raimondo. But obviously, Tim and Brad. It's Brad even. Yeah. Great goal. Yeah. Nick Raimondo is a great goal. Nothing against him.
Let's talk about the back four.
That's where I run into problems. I really can't. Is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough.
Jeff Cameron. Okay. I'm going to give that.
Yeah.
He's good, decent right back for Stoke in the Premier League. He's our one guy that I would say yes. Okay. This guy, a good player. He is capable of playing at that level.
Right.
But now you've got. Fabian Johnson, they're playing wide. He plays in the Bundesliga. He plays on the right side of midfield.
John Brooks.
John
Brooks, Hertha Berlin.
Well, he's a dead average player.
He's a dead average
player in the Bundesliga. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he's a dead average player in the Bundesliga. Yeah. And then you're talking about Matt Besler?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Matt Besler, a great player in the MLS, but we just think.
And
the thing for us is, playing against Germany's front line and front midfield, or if Cristiano Ronaldo is healthy and in it,
destroyed. And you've got Omar Gonzalez, the only man in American soccer that plays with worse defensive shape than DeAndre Yedlin, is Omar Gonzalez. You've got the two worst tactical defenders, probably in the MLS, just running around trying to tackle guys, flying out of shape, and they're in our national team.
Yeah.
And the back four is where it's going to break down. And because I believe our midfield is strong.
Yeah.
I like Grant Soucy. I love Michael Bradley. I think he's a great player. I think Jermaine Jones is very good. I love our midfield. And whoever they end up playing out wide left, it should have been Landon Donovan, but whoever they end up playing out there, fair enough. But the back four is shocking. There's no way.
They have a lot of work to do.
Not only can they not defend Germany, they can't defend Ronaldo. There's no way they're going to defend Ghana. There's no way.
But it's going to be, Asamoah Gyan's definitely no joke.
They can't deal with their pace. They can't deal with the movement. Tactically, we're not good enough.
Well, Todd, I didn't copy off your paper this time. I actually said, and I'm going with it, a little
go, go, rah, rah, USA. I said Germany first, USA second.
You're going to get back on that train you were on in 98. Yeah, that's the train you're going to be on. The Iranians are going to show up this time, though. It's going to be the Germans, and I'm going to be knocking at your door.
I'm saying Germany sweeps the field. I'm saying the United States beats Ghana, gets a draw of Portugal, and hopes that, you know, if they can...
I think we can get result off Portugal.
I'm hoping for, you know, a Portugal kind of meltdown in Ghana as well, actually. So, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you're listening to Todd Stoller and Aaron Heisen here. We're on Blog Talk Radio and BackSportsPage.com. We got the World Cup TV going. Just having a great time with it. And just really, really looking forward to this World Cup. It's going to be a fantastic World Cup. One of the best ones that I found myself looking forward to World Cup this much, you know, ever. So we got 15 minutes here. We got to move. We're moving on to Group H, helping Aaron with his alphabet today.
Group H,
we've got Belgium, Russia, Algeria, and South Korea.
Yep.
And this is the one group that is completely up in the air. I mean, you've got Belgium, who's your mini France. They've got a ton of individual players. You've got Romelu Lukaku, you've got Eden Hazard, you've got Fellaini, who hasn't played in a year. Vermaelen. You've got a lot of great individual players there, which if they can bring that team together, they would be a very good team. Russia, you know, you've got a lot of guys playing in Russia. Fabio Capello, the old England manager, is actually happy to be working with players that can play soccer now, so he might be able to do something. Algeria, you've got the last team to qualify from Africa, but I think that Algeria could be a sleeper. I think Algeria could be a sleeper. They've got some very good players. I read that 7 of their starting 11 play for the top big 6 European clubs.
Yeah.
7 of their starting 11, which is quite... You know, that's quite remarkable. And then you have South Korea, which I see them the same as Japan. You've got a very blue-collar, organized, defensive-minded team. It's going to make it hard for anybody to play. They're going to high-press all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to struggle in the final third. They're going to need to get goals out of the midfield. Do they have the players to do that? We'll see. It's a very tough group to predict, Aaron.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Russia... you know, squeezed into the even they won their group, but they, even though they lost both games to Portugal and they actually got beat by Northern Ireland as well, but they were able to stay consistent. Russia, you know, I think this is going to be a team that's going to surprise people. It's going to be a hard team to break down. It's going to be a difficult team. I think South Korea for me is, I just don't think they're as impressive as they were when they shocked everybody in 2002 during their host time. I mean, they do still have Hong Myung-bo, who's kind of a legend, South Korean legend, going into his fourth World Cup now. Actually, yeah, named by Pele in 2003 as one of the greatest 125 living soccer players that year. So, you know, South Korea, good stuff, but I think Russia are probably the – Russia and obviously Belgium.
I'm going to say to me because I agree. I think Russia is going to be a difficult team to play against.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be hard to break down. And they're, you know, similar to Croatia and Bosnia. They've got some crafty guys.
Yeah.
We see senior playing players. I mean, you and I have played against them. They're tough to play against.
Yeah, they are tough to play.
They're tough. They're mentally tough. And it's, you know, they're crafty, you know, very cheeky. And they're going to be tough. My pick out of this group is Russia first, Belgium second.
Really? You don't think Vincent Kompany is going to go from his Premier League title to leading Belgium out?
Belgium's going to get out, but I think Russia's going first.
Belgium getting out. Yeah, I think I have not actually seen much of Belgium this year, but, I mean, just based off the individuals that they have there and the actual how they did in qualifying was very, very impressive. Just a real quick rundown on their midfield is Moussa Dembele, obviously of Tottenham, Stephen Defour from Porto, Kevin De Bruyne from Wolfsburg, Fellaini and Januzaj of Manchester United, Hazard of Chelsea, Kevin Morales of Everton, and then Origi, who plays at Lille, Axel Witsel at Zenit St. Petersburg, and he knows the Russian players
just as well. So it's gonna be a good. And they don't have Benteke was hurt.
Yeah.
So Benteke would have been out there.
Benteke's not gonna play. That would help them.
It would have been
helpful.
He's a great
player. Again, though, you know, they've got a lot of these individual attacking players. Do they have the central figure, as we talked about with France? Do they have the central player, the central midfield player, to put them together? It's Axel Witsel.
Yeah.
Is he that guy? Yeah, you know, can he pull that group together? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that he can, but I think they've got enough. You know, I mean, when you talk about Lukaku, I mean, this guy, for some reason, Chelsea loans this guy out every year, and he scores.
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why anymore.
They keep Torres, but they loan out Lukaku, and Torres isn't scoring, and Lukaku scores every single place he plays. I mean, I was so happy to have him at West Bromwich Albion 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
He was fantastic.
He was played at Everton this year.
And here's Mourinho saying, like, I don't have any strikers. You know, Torres, Eto, none of these people do it for
him.
Yeah,
you have a striker. He's just playing for every other team in the Premier League except for you.
Absolutely.
I think he's got enough, because I think Eden Hazard is a very good player.
Right.
I do think they have enough that they're going to get through this. But it'll be interesting, this group. I mean, like I said, very difficult to predict. And, you know, I think the likes of the United States are wondering why they couldn't be drawn in a group of this nature. But, you know, I think that it's going to be a tough group to predict.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
And real quick about Algeria, actually, the last time, you know, we know the U.S., that last time we saw the U.S., speaking of Landon Donovan's goal against Algeria in the group stage, Algeria were eliminated them. But I think you're right, Algeria will be you alongside Javier Zanetti, Diego Maradona, and remember left-footed Rivaldo from Barcelona, all those guys kind of giving Algeria props. Actually, Arsene Wenger said Sofiane Feghouli where is he playing at now? Oh, Valencia. He's playing at Valencia, and he said he's an absolute monster. He's a fantastic player. So that's a huge player for Algeria. I think they will cause some problems, but I don't think they're going to be quite deep enough to handle this.
Well,
the likes of a Russia and a Belgium.
Just a couple little just getting on. Just so everybody knows, we just did the whole show without the internet here. We did this ad libbing, but we just got the internet. We're having some technical difficulties here, but injured Russian captain Roman Shirokov has been ruled out of the World Cup. He's going to head to Finland on Monday for a back operation. That's going to hurt them.
Yeah, that's huge.
And also, just backing up a couple groups here, just reading, Ronaldo is back in business training today.
Okay.
He's returned to group training, and he is training. That's good. Also here, Romelu Lukaku looking to leave Chelsea. What a shocker.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he's looking for, you know, thing here, you know, you've got a guy like Lukaku. I mean, this is the stage for him to get his next contract.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So that's why wouldn't you put that out there?
He's only 21 years old. You know, he's been behind Fernando Torres, Samuel Eto'o, and Demba Ba. You know, and none of those guys are scoring. And so I can't understand, you know, why they don't want him. But, you know, huge boost for Portugal.
Yeah.
If Ronaldo's playing, that's just fantastic. But you've also got here coming out Paolo Di Canio, the outspoken Italian, saying that Wayne Rooney is gonna struggle in the heat of Brazil. He says he's tired and he just, you know, his quote is, England are missing parts, their reserves are not up to par, the players are really tired. I like Rooney, but he arrives in these competitions cooked because he plays a lot of games in the season. He gives all of himself in every game, but the temperatures in Brazil will be very hard for him.
It's going to be interesting. No Rooney, England will have problems.
Yeah, England's not. To me,
it's
not almost not even worth talking about. But a couple games, other games going on today. England, Honduras plays today. We already mentioned the United States, Nigeria. El Salvador plays Spain. That should be interesting. Belgium plays Tunisia. And Argentina and Slovenia. All those matches going on today. Looking forward to those matches. Really, you know, just a great World Cup that we're on the eve of, you know, and starting on Thursday.
Get your schedule set.
Yeah.
Where are you going to watch the games, by the way?
Bring
in and watch the game smoothly.
The game just down the stairs here, a little pizza place called Olympia Pizza Spaghetti, right on top of Queen.
Okay.
The owner, Angelo, was actually a youth team player. He's Greek at Olympiacos.
Oh, nice.
He's already told me he doesn't think Greece is going to get out of the Greece is going to get out of the group.
He
got a brand new TV, and he's not even open. And he typically doesn't open until noon. He's going to open up for myself and anybody who wants to join me with him in the mornings,
nice.
9 a.m.
Might have to join you in one or two.
And I'm hoping he's going to cook me some Greek breakfast. And if you're listening, I just want to, I already told you that this week, but I want to make that dead clear that I'm expecting a Greek breakfast.
Oh, you didn't tell me, by the way, you're Group H. Did you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, you said Belgium, Russia, right?
Yeah, Russia.
Okay,
I'm going to go Russia. First, Belgium.
Okay, I'm doing vice versa. I said Belgium. I think Belgium's going to do it. I think Russia. Sorry, South Korea. I had you in there, but I just think Russia's
got a little
bit more than time. I think South Korea qualified. They did okay. They just slipped past Uzbekistan. It was too close for me. I think Russia went through it a little more difficult with Portugal and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't disagree, but just a couple things, other things here. We've got a couple minutes here. A couple other players, great players that we're not going to see in the World Cup. We've already mentioned Marco Reus.
Yep.
Partially torn ankle ligament. Very, very sad to see that. Frank Ribéry, we mentioned that. He's got a back injury. He'll be out. Roman Shurikov, we just mentioned him. He's going to go have a back surgery. Landon Donovan. Mentioned him. He was the unfortunately the victim of a very strong German ego. Jesus Navas and Alvaro Negredo
didn't make the team. Crazy team though.
Right,
I mean, Torrente doesn't make the team.
Because, you know, when you say they took Fernando Torres over them, I just didn't want
that.
Yeah,
and Fernando Llorente. I think he's a great player, but anyway. We're not Vincent Del Bosque, so
that's a tough one. Ricardo Montalivo for Italy, fractured tibia. Very, very sad. Giuseppe Rossi, American-born Italian, was left off. Very, very, very surprising there. Costa Rica, Alvaro Saborio, left off foot injury during a closed-door training, fifth metatarsal break. David Beckham injury. He's out too bad because he's, well, good for us because he's now also off of Real Salt Lake.
I've actually had that injury myself. Fifth metatarsal break, screwing my foot and everything. Wasn't fun.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Wasn't fun.
So, you know, couple guys there. Another player, the Luis Montes, that was the guy that broke his leg against
us.
Just a shocker. I mean, he scored a great goal in that game, and you can just tell he was so wound up. He took a big touch, and instead of just jumping out of the tackle, he flew into a tackle that he had absolutely no business going into and snapped his own leg in half.
Just brutal.
Very sad. Very sad to see that. So, just some great players that we aren't going to see, but along with all the players that we will see, just I couldn't be more excited for this World Cup. I really couldn't be more excited for this World Cup. And I'm really happy I'm really happy to get the internet on. Glad that we just did the whole show without it. That's great. but really, really happy to see that Cristiano Ronaldo is back to training. And, you know, I hope he can be sick. Gosh, that kind of messes up my prediction I already gave.
You can't go back now. Also, Portugal, Portuguese being spoken in Brazil. Portugal actually pretty solid in Brazil. So they've got the other team kind of a little bit of a home field advantage, too. So that's
similar
to climate
as well.
Yeah.
By
the way, Shkodran Mustafi is the one that's going to replace Marco Reus, the defender from Sampdoria.
Good little piece of last information there from Aaron.
Lowe's got a pretty funny quote here. He goes, when asked why he's not replacing Marco Reus with another midfielder, he's like, well, our quality in the position behind the strikers is very high. We have Podolski, Schürrle, Götze, Müller, Mesut Özil, Draxler, and Cruz.
He
should be all right.
Yeah, what else do you want? I mean, come on.
I'm just so jealous.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great. Well, we're really, really looking forward to it. Next time we will be on the air, we will be knee-deep in World Cup actually be in New Mexico at the Far West Regionals with my boys under 13 Pacific Northwest Soccer Club team.
Nice.
We were actually put in the group of death. Two Cal South teams. Looking forward to that. So,
good luck.
tough one. Feeling like the U.S. right now, but I know we can get a result. And
that's right.
I didn't, here in Queensland, I didn't cut my best player right before we left. So really looking forward to taking those young boys down to that experience. And actually, we have four Pac Northwest teams down at Far West Regionals. So I just thought give the club a little plug there. So, we're going to sign off here, though, but everybody, again, our thoughts go out to the people, all the victims and the students and faculty at Seattle Pacific University, and all of our thoughts and prayers are with them. And everybody enjoy this first few days of the World Cup, and we'll be back on air next week, and we'll be talking World Cup, and we will and I just can't wait. Sign off. Aaron, any last comments?
That's all. I can't wait. Get ready.
Okay.
Max.
Get your brackets filled out. We'll talk to you next week.
Go USA.
I don't even know who's in what fucking room. I'm going to use it. I just remember who's in.